Welcome back here to In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined here now by Biosecurity Research Institute Director Dr. Stephen Higgs. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Great to meet you in person at last. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, thank you. That's nice to meet you too. I've heard a lot about you and all good things.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, I'm still new to the community. I need to educate myself a little bit more here on the work that's going on at the Biosecurity Research Institute. Tell me a little bit about the background.
All right, Brandon. So the Biosecurity Research Institute is wholly owned and operated by Kansas State University. Construction was completed in 2004. We've been doing work since 2007. Research, high quality, high impact research since 2009. We're like a mini NBAF, National Bio-Agro Defense Facility, in many ways. You asked me about that earlier, and we very much are similar in terms of what we work on. We've actually got a broader research, education, and training portfolio than NBAF. We're working on animal diseases, including diseases that infect livestock, and what we call zoonotic diseases that also infect people. They can be transmitted from wildlife or livestock to people, sometimes by mosquitoes, for example. And then we've got a plant area which has been conducting very important research since 2009. And then we have an area dedicated to foodborne pathogens.
Okay, so a lot, you know, agriculture obviously very big here in the state of Kansas and really in the entire Midwest. So a lot of your research is going to help the next generation of farmers in fighting those types of diseases then?
Absolutely, and part of what we do is we're training scientists for the future, both for ourselves here at K-State and also for NBAF. We have some very rigorous training programs which we've developed over the years.
Okay. Maybe just kind of talk a little bit about some of the new ones you've got going on here.
The new pathogens?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. One of the big things in the news at the moment is African swine fever virus. We are actually a facility, non-federal facility, that can work on that. We're the first and still the only non-government facility that's ever been allowed to work on African swine fever and classical swine fever. The reason it's in the news at the moment is that it's been spreading in Eastern Europe since about 2007. But 2 months ago, so August, it was detected in China for the first time. And that is having a huge impact on China and is a potential threat to a number of other countries, including perhaps the United States. China is the largest pork producer in the world. I mean, it's got like 400 million pigs. And since the detection in August, it is now spread to 14 districts in China. They've killed over 200,000 pigs already trying to control it. There's no vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, here at Kansas State, working in the Biosecurity Research Institute, we have seven independent investigators, mainly from the College of Vet Med, all working on different aspects of African swine fever.
Yeah, obviously you're trying to get to the bottom of what's causing this, and anything you can share with us that maybe you see?
So it's caused by an unusually stable virus in many respects. You know, you think of a lot of viruses, if they're outside of the host or heat-treated, they can be essentially killed. African swine fever virus is different. It can survive meat processing, you know, smoking. And so there have been major outbreaks and introductions around in different countries in the world caused by discarded pork products. So ham sandwiches, something like that, discarded from a ship can cause an outbreak because in many countries, not the U.S. fortunately, pig production, especially backyard production, is based on feeding them scraps of food. It's, economically inexpensive. It prevents wastage of food. But that has actually been banned in China at the moment. It's a common practice, and the government there has banned the practice because that seems to be one of the major causes of causing these infections. And then the virus is also potentially being moved around, you know, on vehicles, as they move pigs at great distances from where they're produced to where they're actually being processed.
So they can survive just about anywhere, then, it sounds like. If you mentioned, you know, a discarded sandwich here or on a vehicle, is the pathogen then just clinging onto something and then passing along to the next animal?
That's basically it, yes. So, you know, some of the research that we've got going on at the BRI is looking at diagnostics and vaccines. There's no vaccine for this virus. But also, very importantly, people are looking at how it might be introduced into the United States. So we've had studies looking at, we would call it pathway analysis. What are the paths by which a pathogen could get from one place to another, particularly foreign animal disease into the United States? So we've had studies looking at importation of products legally. For example, we import a lot of animal feed from China and dietary supplements. So one group, Megan Niederweider and Bob Rowland's group, and in collaboration with others, have demonstrated that if you take that animal feed and you deliberately contaminate it with the virus, then it can survive 30 days in shipping container conditions. And we, like I say, we import a lot of that from China. And then other groups, National Agricultural Biosecurity Center folks, have looked at legal and illegal imports. People don't think, you know, about the dangers of when they come from one country another with their favorite pork products, with sausages and things like that. In fact, a few weeks ago, some sniffer dog, I think at Atlanta Airport, found a whole pig in somebody's luggage, believe it or not. Oh, wow. I mean, dead, and a relatively small one. Not infected, but it happens all the time.
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting here. I mean, I lost my train of thought here. I'll get it back here. But, you know, these incidents that you talk about here, is only transferred between animal to animal then?
A piece of good news at last, right?
Yeah.
This particular virus does not infect people. It's not zoonotic. It only infects pigs. So that is the good news, but that's about the only good news that we have at the moment about it. It doesn't threaten our people.
Well, and I thought of my question here. A lot of these times you guys are working with stuff you can't always see. These pathogens are probably very hard to find. What are some symptoms maybe that you guys notice in the animals that may be suffering from the African swine fever? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. So the Biosecurity Research Institute here at Kansas State is one of very, very few facilities. I mean, we're talking half a dozen or less that can work with livestock, with large animals, and do the studies with these highly infectious, dangerous pathogens. You know, the animal work that we do, we don't do cosmetic research or anything like that. All of the research we do is focused on ultimately saving the lives of animals and saving the lives of people. It goes through a lot of scrutiny before we embark on those studies. African swine fever kills about 90%, up to 90% of the animal it infects. So once they're infected, their internal organs become infected as the virus spreads, and then they get organ failure, they get purple patches on the skin, and then ultimately they will die. We do not do any studies that allow those animals to proceed to death. Naturally, we always we're watching the animals that we work with pretty much 24 hours a day, so we know what's going on and can get expert veterinary assistance to euthanize those animals before they start to suffer.
I gotcha. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back here, talk a little bit more. I know you got some preventive maintenance going on over there at the Biosecurity Research Institute. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Stephen Higgs right after this on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News, brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sweet.